Our joke comes today from Jason.
That's it,
Jason.
Jason. Jason, who?
Yeah, no, that's the only name he gave us. No, there's nothing else here.
It's gonna be tough to give him credit. What company does he work for?
Submission says just me. That's it.
What an odd name for a company. I wonder what they
Yeah.
do.
Anyway, our joke comes from Jason. You know who you are and where you work. So two objects walk into a bar. One object says to the other, "Hey, what's your name?" And the object says, "Cases." And the first object just shakes his head and says, "Standard."
I
What?
don't get it.
I don't get it. Was that a joke? I don't think that was a joke. Jokes are supposed to have, punches
Well, we
or
can't say jokes are supposed to be funny because, our jokes.
Okay, but there's funny and then there's funny. This is just sentences.
Yeah. There's not even a
I don't
punchline. I mean,
know.
the first object should shake its head and then punch the case object.
That doesn't make sense either. That's also a terrible, not really a joke.
But at least there would be punch in the line.
Jason continues, "Thank you, folks. I'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip your wizard casters."
Well, that's nice. Do we even have a tip jar?
I don't think so.
Hi, I'm Brian, the Salesforce Wizard.
And I'm Mark, Salesforce Yoda.
Welcome to the Wizard News Wizardcast. This is a podcast on all things Salesforce, but more importantly, it's a podcast where we sound stupid.
It's educational and entertainment. It's edutainment.
This marks our third episode without Parker House Rolls.
What? What are Parker House Rolls? Don't you mean Parker Harris?
Well, everyone's heard that joke twice now, and besides, I started a new diet and I'm hungry.
Okay, but what is Parker? Is that like a regional thing? Is that like a Wisconsin thing, eh?
Really? You don't know what a Parker House Roll is?
I don't never heard of Parker
It was
House
really
Rolls.
popular. It got started actually in the Northeast. It's a special type of roll where it's kind of indented and holds a little pat of butter on the inside of the roll when it gets baked. They're delicious.
You know way too much about bread.
Well, that's because I like to bake, and I watch a lot of Good Eats with Elton Brown.
Still.
Never mind that. It's time for our career chatter interview. We're joined in our cloudy, spacious recording studio by Andy Betcher. Andy is the chef architect at Demand Chain Systems.
Wait. Chef Brian, I think you mean chief.
That would make more sense. I was wondering why we'd be interviewing someone who cooks architects.
I'll totally take that chef comment though.
Do you cook architects? Is that your thing?
Not necessarily, but it's a kind of a nice juxtaposition of positions because I am also a certified barbecue judge.
So all architects fear Andy
Yes.
and his fork, his barbecue fork.
So hear that, certified architects. If you see Andy and he's carrying barbecue sauce, run away.
Run very fast.
Or it depends. You could run closer and hope that I get to somebody else first.
That's right. Use their bodies to keep you alive.
Exactly.
So tell us real quick, you work at Demand Chain Systems. What is Demand Chain Systems and what do they do?
Demand Chain Systems is actually one of the first Salesforce partners in the Midwest. We've been around since the beginning and have implemented roughly about 300, 350 Salesforce implementations in that time. We handle everything from the one-person shop all the way up to the multinational, multi-continental companies with Salesforce entities from Professional Edition all the way up to multi-org enterprise and multi-org unlimited.
But not Group Edition.
No, Group Edition. Nobody likes Group
Okay.
Edition.
All right. Just making sure.
Well, that's a nice summary for what Demand Chain Systems is. So then what exactly is a chief architect?
At Demand Chain Systems, the chief technical architect is actually a dual-faceted role. The first side of the role is customer facing. I'll go out and meet with customers, discuss their short, medium, and long-term goals with Salesforce, take a look at what their employees are trying to do, what they're trying to achieve as a company goal-wise, and look at different systems for any type of interoperability type of opportunities, and then work with them to create a long-term, eventually a long-term plan. With short-term steps and mid-term steps, and then help execute on that with myself and my team. The other side of my role is internal, actually. As the chief architect of demand chain systems, I end up looking at different industry trends, different industry tools, looking further into Salesforce itself, and learning as much as humanly possible to disseminate that knowledge to my internal team, both from a training standpoint, what they should be looking at standpoint, what they should be looking at coming down the road that may affect their decisions today, and then from a staff development perspective, showing them the different certifications that they should pursue to enhance their career and further their career, as well as outside of Salesforce, different types of technologies, industry certifications, or directions that they may want to pursue to further their career that way.
So it sounds like you have multiple – let me throw some terms at you that aren't necessarily Salesforce specific, and you tell me yes or no. Consultant.
Yes.
Project manager.
A light project manager.
How so a light project manager? Because it sounds like you are definitely involved. Are you just part of the initial touch point? The first line of defense?
Yeah. Or did you just go on a diet?
definitely the diet version of a project manager. So in the realm of Salesforce consultants, you have your large companies, you have your middle-sized companies, you have your small companies. Demand Chain Systems were approximately 20 people here in the Twin Cities. And with a consulting company of this size, you end up having to wear many hats. Now, that doesn't automatically mean that you are an expert in everything or that you portray yourself as an expert in everything, because that would be lying. But when I say a light project manager, I can step into an engagement where I might be the initial architect. I may actually end up doing config and development and maybe bring one or two other people on for some business analysis work or other data loading tasks or things like that that may help us get to the goal quicker. And in order to make sure that our deliverables align with our customers, that the expectations are aligned, both the customer to us and us to the customer, and then us as a team internally, you do end up taking on some light project management tasks from a traditional project management, project engagement standpoint.
Describe to me what a typical day looks like for you. For example, are you driving to an office? Do you work from home? What's the first thing you do when you get to work?
A typical day in the life of Andy can range anywhere from padding downstairs in socks to the computer to do some development. It can involve driving all over the city or all over the region to sit down with my clients to discuss their goals, capture business requirements, or do some training, things like that. I may end up at a coffee shop or may actually end up at our office.
Do you travel often? Like, besides the driving, do you fly often?
Not necessarily. Demand Chain Systems, we pride ourselves in being Minnesota's partner. So we end up working with clients that are actually all over the world. In the past couple of months, I have flown to Israel. I have flown to San Francisco, flown to Denver. But the lion's share of our work and our clients are homed out of Minnesota.
So it sounds like you are the chief architect. Like, there are no others like it. There can only be one. I'm going to try and fit as many movie references as I can into this line.
One architect to rule them all.
Mark, are you insinuating that Andy cut the heads off the other architects and then collected their essence in order to become the chief architect?
Hey, if the bloody glove fits, that's all I'm saying.
The bloody glove fits. No.
Okay.
So while I am the chief architect, that is strictly in title. We have many other architects at our company. We have senior solution consultants. We have solution consultants. We have an entire team of very seasoned professionals. I've been in the role for technically I've been in the role for 7 days. So I'm still having issues speaking. I can't let it roll off the tongue yet.
You've been officially in the title, but you've been doing it for some time.
Yes, exactly. I've been doing what has been deemed the chief architect role for almost my entire tenure at Demand Chain Systems.
Well, Andy, let me ask you this. So your role is chief architect. Are you a certified architect as far as the way Salesforce considers the word?
Not yet, but in process.
Nice.
Good luck.
I definitely need it. It's not a short order item.
So you've got a relatively small company. You must work with pretty much everybody in the company.
That's correct. That is one of the actual big pluses of why I have worked with small businesses as an employee for almost my entire career. I really, really like being able to work with all of my peers, know exactly what they're able to do, and we're able to very quickly morph ourselves to be able to deliver on a wide variety of projects versus a large company where I might not learn the names of my cube mate down the road for 6 months because they're on different projects.
What would you say would be the downsides then to working with a really small company?
There are
without getting you in trouble.
There are absolutely some downsides of working with a small company. As much as the as I stated earlier, the agile nature of being able to pull people together and quickly morph ourselves to projects, because we don't have a very large talent pool, if we happen to get a flood of business happen to come in just through the wonderful gods of sales come in and just bestow new projects upon us. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming to deal with all of that work as that team without being able to tap against people who are on the bench or pull in additional resources who may be on a surge capacity or an hourly basis. It's our team. What we sell, we do. So that translates into sometimes some higher hour weeks, but the to bring back a massive plus of most small businesses out there, and actually a lot of medium-sized businesses are coming this way too, the buzzword of work-life balance that has been overused for darn near a decade plus now, the small businesses really embody that. So an afternoon I might be talking with two wonderful gentlemen on a podcast, or I might be developing my fingers off until the wee hours of the morning, but I would be able to run out to the bus stop and pick up my daughter or go to a music festival for my kids. My kids are my life. I love my kids to death, and I absolutely love the freedom to be able to go and participate in their lives where I may not be able to in a larger company.
Brian, I'm a little bit jealous. You said he's talking with people on other podcasts. I mean, you said wonderful gentlemen. That's not us, so who must be somebody else?
He's cheating on us, Mark.
Man, I feel so betrayed.
I only have eyes for you two guys.
Last time it was Chris Duarte talking to other podcasts, and now it's Andy.
We just can't catch an even break.
Who's actually signing up these guests? Because they're doing a terrible job.
You are, Brian.
Well, I should have words with him.
Yeah. So Andy, how many hours do you think you put in on an average week, then, in your position?
On an average week, it's right around probably the 50-hour-a-week number.
What's the spread?
The spread is anywhere from we don't usually work less than 40 hours a week, but we can spread up to 60 to 70 on some major projects. I've had one or two weeks in my tenure here at DCS where I have looked at my time card and said, holy moly, that's an 80 number. Thankfully, that doesn't happen that often. That's a rarity, to be honest with you. But the healthy spread is anywhere between 40 and maybe 55, knowing that I'm a glutton for punishment and will come down and work at my computer after the kids go to bed at night.
You go down and work on the computer, we go and do podcasts. So, all right, let's say demand chain systems is really growing, and it's time to hire a second chief architect. What are the qualities that you would look for in a person, or that you feel that a person should have to make a good chief architect?
So the makings of a chief technical architect, when we look for new architects within DCS, we're looking for quite senior and tenured resources who have been in technology for not talking years, but talking decades. We're talking the type of individuals who have been in the trenches and honestly have been burned by a lot. In my opinion, one of the best ways to learn things is by making mistakes. It truly is. You learn from your mistakes, you learn not to make those again in the future, and then you hopefully teach your peers and everyone that you meet along the journey of life not to make those same mistakes either. But from an architect standpoint, having that type of history around the industry, it doesn't even need to be CRM for the entirety of that multi-decade experience level. But we're looking for somebody who just really can walk into a room, has confidence, that's actually a big piece, but be able to speak not just to Salesforce, but speak to systems, platforms, web technologies, business, business process, adoption, kind of run the gamut. And we're not looking for somebody who can go absolutely from 100,000 feet to a foot in the span of a sentence in any one or many of those different categories. But we're looking for somebody who can speak comfortably and from a position of experience and trust across the entirety of those categories.
So what would you advise then for people who are interested in actually becoming a chief architect?
Make mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. Keep making mistakes tomorrow. I know you can do that, Mark.
I started this podcast with Brian, didn't I?
Exactly.
Hey.
No, it's regardless of where you're coming from. If you're a .NET developer, if you're a web designer, if you're a business analyst, any aspect of professional life when it comes to technology, if you want to help people, an architect path is a really good goal to reach for, or a good path to at least start walking down until you find where on that path you're most comfortable.
Does it require Apex? I think that's a big question, actually.
It doesn't hurt. Less from the respect of being able to code. I can code. Many of the people that I know can code. Being able to sit down at a computer and bang out 1,000 lines of Apex in 5 minutes, honestly, would be a detriment to you as an architect, to be honest with you. Because part of being able to architect a system is being able to lift yourself out of the finite details and bring yourself up to a point where you can look across the entire solution, know enough of the pitfalls of the individual areas to be able to watch out for them or architect around them, but be able to sit down at the end of the day and say, you know what, here is the direction we're going. Now, if that architect can execute tactically in any of those areas, awesome. But the greater benefit of having a true architect is being able to sit down and know with a high degree of confidence that, yes, this is the solution that we're going to pursue.
So, Andy, you kind of talked about that one of the goals you have is to make mistakes and learn from them. Would you say that that's pretty much a quest of yours?
A quest of mine? I love making mistakes. I'm on this podcast today. I think this might be a mistake. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
With that in mind, that brings us to our final question, and that is, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
Oh, I just watched this over the weekend. I saw that scene. I introduced my 10-year-old daughter to Monty Python this weekend. And the general look on her face was bewilderment and half of despair as she clamored for her iPod to bury into Minecraft.
I'm sorry, that is not the correct answer.
The
correct answer was African or European.
That's what it is.
You're now going to be thrown off the bridge.
All right. Thank you, Andy, very much for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was definitely a pleasure.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I was being nice. You're right.
Our video this week is from Ryan Headley. Ryan is a Salesforce MVP, and you may have heard him from his That's Why Admins Drink song.
Ooh, that was played during the community keynote at last year's Dreamforce. Are we going to play that video?
No, Mark. This is something new. We're a little late since I think it was really meant for Valentine's Day.
Didn't we already do a Salesforce love song in our last episode?
It's always a good time for love, Mark. Let's listen to a little bit of the music.
Now I feel a little bit awkward.
I first saw you out at Dreamforce when you walked up to our stand. I couldn't wait to scan your badge and talk about our brand. Now I got your name and number added to our leads. And I can't wait to call you up and talk about your needs. This lead of yours into an opportunity. Put you on our mailing list and set your owner to me. It may be too much to ask, but I hope that you can see. I can't wait to turn you into an opportunity.
What did we learn today, Mark?
I learned that jokes should actually have some humor to them, that they should not be regional, and that they should not make the other person feel confused.
I learned it's okay to make mistakes, even with your jokes.
That's up for debate.
Because that's how you learned. For example, I learned that chief is spelled with an I, and that letter greatly changes the definition of your job title. WizardCast is produced by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, directed by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, technical administration by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, script writing by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, editing by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, website maintenance by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, duct tape applied by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross, and our intern this episode was Chet Arpost.
Send us your interview suggestions, jokes, videos, and tips to WizardCast at thewizardnews.com, or head over to http://thewizardnews.com and click Contact WizardCast.
Don't forget to subscribe to WizardCast and receive our next episode automatically.
You can also rate and review us on iTunes.
Once again, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
Thanks for listening. Think we still have some time to get some Parker Harris rolls? Website maintenance by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross. Duct tape applied by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross. And our intern this episode was Chat E. Damn it. Duct tape applied by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross. And our intern this episode was Chat E. Damn it. One more time. One more time.
Okay.
Further blooper reel. Script writing by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross. Damn it. WizardCast is produced by Brian Kwong and Mark Ross. Mark. Our intern this episode was Chet Arpost.
Send us your interview suggestions, jokes. Cut. Okay, I can splice
myself. Contagious.
I can splice myself.